God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians. But before we get into our text, dealing with the title of this message, Returning Your Christmas Presents, how many of you ever had the opportunity to return a Christmas present? Did you ever get a Christmas present that maybe you had a duplicate of? Or one that the size just didn't match? Or the color was just a little off? Or maybe you just looked at it and said, who really wants this? And when you get those type of Christmas presents, you have to make some interesting decisions. If I have a gift receipt, can I return it to the store? If I don't have a gift receipt and I can't return it to the store now, what do I do with it? In the modern age of the internet, the newest fad now is to go online to eBay and see if someone else wants to buy it from you. And if that doesn't work, then what else could you do? Well, you could always wrap it up and give it to someone else for Christmas next year. Or sometimes we just leave it in the box, throw it up in the attic, and let it collect dust. Either way, sometimes we get a little particular about our presents. Some we'll use and some we won't use. And in our society today, it seems like the lines to return presents seems to get longer and longer. We're doing a little bit more of that from time to time, it seems. But now, do we do the same concept with God? It may sound kind of strange. Who would ever think about returning a present from God? Well, not that we so much return a present from God, but do we truly appreciate the presence that God gives us? Do we truly understand the presence and cherish the presence? Or in one essence, do we say to God, God, when you give me what I want, then I'll be happy with it. But if you give me something I don't want, well, can we bargain? Can I just put it over here and sell it someplace else? Can I just allow it to collect dust? It may sound kind of strange, but if you think about all the gifts that God gives to us, are we truly thankful for each and every one? In our text for today, Paul begins and opens up his letter to the Corinthians who were struggling with a lot of issues, struggling with a lot of temptation, struggling with a lot of issues of serving themselves. Paul says, I always thank God because of you, because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because of our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Paul clearly says you don't lack any spiritual gift. I don't know about you, but when it comes to my human nature and I hear that spiritual gift, I sit there and say, well, that's great. I know I'm saved by God's grace. I know that because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, I will be with my Lord and Savior in heaven above. But by the way, Lord, as you're listening to my prayers, could you bestow another gift? One that I don't have? I will admit, as a little boy growing up, and if someone would ask you, well, what was Christmas like? My response would have been, oh, it was okay. I got a few presents. Well, were you happy with all your presents? No. Well, why not? Well, I go to the toy store and I see all those toys on the shelves that I didn't get for Christmas, and I want them all. Too often as Christians, we are like that. We want them all. And we feel that our life won't be happy unless if we get them all. Notice what Paul doesn't say in our text. He doesn't say, because of your faith in Christ Jesus, you're going to get all the toys in life. No, he says you will get gifts, yes, the spiritual gift. The guarantee that only comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that yes, you will be with him in heaven above. But when we take a look at that gift that God gives to us, how much do we appreciate it? How much do we put it on the shelves and brag about it to our friends and family who come over? How many times do we really cherish that gift? Or do we treat the gift that God gives to us, eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, as something that's, oh, well, I guess that's okay. Maybe I'll put it in the attic and it can collect some dust. Or maybe we're trying to figure out, God, is there any way I can redeem this for something else? I'd like a brand new sports car. Maybe a better house. Maybe a better job. Too often we take these precious gifts from God and we don't make much use of it. As a connection to our text, I'll be grabbing from our hymnal the Small Catechism, the fourth petition. It's on page 302 in the front part of the hymnal. In the fourth petition to the Lord's Prayer, that petition says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And there's a connection here between the spiritual gifts that God gives to us, the gift of eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our desire to enjoy other gifts instead. And now, what does the Lord's Prayer say about this? On page 302, the fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," Martin Luther writes, "What does this mean? God gives daily bread indeed without our prayer." And at that point, we might be going, "Great! Then why don't I have all the toys that I want?" Well, we continue. "Also to all the wicked, but we pray in this petition that he would lead us to know it and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving." And then Martin Luther goes on to explain what is meant by daily bread. "Everything that belongs to the support and wants of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, field, cattle, money, goods, a pious spouse, pious children, pious servants, pious and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, discipline, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like." And our sinful human nature will come up and say, "Well, why don't I have all those things?" And then our sinful nature comes up again and says, "Why does my neighbor who slept in this morning, who doesn't go to church, why does he get those things and I don't?" You see, too often, when we start taking a look at the gifts that God has given to us, we're not only just thankful, but we're also a little envious. As a Christian, yes, we are thankful for all the gifts, but too often we look to our neighbor and we say, "Wait a minute, I'm better than my neighbor, but why does my neighbor have more good things than I do? Why does it seem like those who don't serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ get more gifts and more blessings, and I always get the short end of the stick?" Well, let's go back to Martin Luther's explanation of the fourth petition. Martin Luther names it. "God gives daily bread indeed without our prayer also to all the wicked." Now, as Christians, we may say, that's not fair. We're followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why do the wicked get blessed just as well as the Christians? And sometimes it seems like they get blessed even more. You see, too often we've forgotten where we came from. You see, as the baptismal font is out to remind us, we were baptized into Christ. We weren't born that way. We were born to sin, death, and hell. But Christ put his name upon us. We at one time are the wicked. And even by our sinful actions, we still are wicked, but we are redeemed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yes, God gives us many blessings, but just because we follow him doesn't necessarily mean we're going to get all the temporal blessings we want. We don't get the entire toy store for Christmas. No, but as Paul reminds the people of Corinth, we have the complete spiritual blessing, the gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins. We need to remind ourselves also, especially if we like to do any type of comparison with our neighbor, that even the wicked were created by God. Even the wicked are redeemed by God. The difference between the wicked and the Christian is that the Christian believes and trusts in Jesus Christ. God has put his name upon the Christian. We are no better than the wicked. God blesses all. And we shouldn't be jealous just because our siblings have more blessings than we do. Now, getting back to our text, are we thankful and appreciative of the spiritual blessings that we have? Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. How many times do we eagerly wait? How many times do we thank the Lord for the precious gifts that He has given to us? Again, too often, we fall a little short because we're a little envious. Now let me just direct you for a moment to the introit. It was on page 3 in our worship folder. Because here we get a little bit of a glimpse of what it takes to remind ourselves that we need to be appreciative of God's gift and not return His gift. On page 3, when we got to the introit, that third section here of that responsive reading, I said, "He lifted me up out of the slimy pit." Your response was, "Out of the mud and mire." And if you just sort of picture yourself for a moment being stuck in a bunch of mud and mire in the slimy pit, if someone lifted you up out of that, would you not be appreciative? Wouldn't you not say thank you? Who wants to be stuck in that slimy pit? But too often we lose sight of the fact that our sinfulness, our own sin, we create that own slimy pit of mire and mud. But yet God lifts us up out of that slimy pit each and every day. Every day when our jealousy consumes us, we go back into that slimy pit. Every day when we're not appreciative of God's gifts and are coveting the things of this world, we go back into that slimy pit. And every time we say, "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy," He lifts us up out of that slimy pit. Every day of our lives, He renews us and lifts us up out of that slimy pit. And are we thankful? Sometimes. We've gathered here today to be thankful, to sing His praise. But are we just as thankful tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning? Every day He lifts us up out of the slimy pit that we crawl back into. Yes, our sinful nature is strong. But the Spirit of the Lord is even stronger. The love that God has for each and every one of us, because He has called us by name, He has enlightened us with His gifts, is even stronger. And as the psalmist says, where our introit comes from, He does lift us up out of the slimy pit. So why would we want to return a gift like that? Because our human nature wants to think that that's not important anymore, that the toys on the shelves are more important, the toys that our neighbor has that we don't have. Today, we need to remind ourselves through God's holy word that we have the greatest gift of all, the gift of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we'll be singing these words in the offertory, we need to apply them to our lives. In the offertory, we'll be singing, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." We need that renewal each and every day of our lives. Why? Because too often we live in a society, and it has affected us also, that is used to returning Christmas gifts. A society that's not appreciative of what people do for each other and appreciative of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for all. So on this day, as we're in the season of Epiphany, we're reminded about God's word reaching out to the nations, going to the people who don't deserve it. But God's love goes to all, because all were created by God. So on this day, as we remember the second Sunday after the Epiphany, we give our thanks and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the special gift that He has bestowed upon us, the gift of the forgiveness of sins. The gift of eternal life. Indeed, this is a gift we dare not want to return, but a gift we cherish each and every day of our lives. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.